Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Four law school professors before a House panel as lawmakers move into the next phase of the impeachment inquiry. Fox's Jared Halpern has more live on Capitol Hill.
A panel of constitutional experts are weighing in on how the framers viewed the power of impeachment.
I cannot help but conclude that this president has attacked each of the Constitution's safeguards against establishing a monarchy.
University of North Carolina's Michael Gerhardt is one of three law professors recommending impeachment. A fourth, invited by committee Republicans, says Democrats are rushing impeachment to remedy anger.
My personal views of President Trump are as irrelevant to my impeachment testimony as they should be to your impeachment vote.
George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley calls this impeachment inquiry the most narrow in history. Lisa.
Jared, the White House continues to forcefully push back.
Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham tweeting, three of four experts in this sham hearing have known biases against the president. She continued, not only is the president given no rights in this process, the Dems' witnesses made up their minds long before today. The Judiciary Committee chairman offered the president an opportunity to have counsel at today's hearing, but the president declined the invitation, calling the impeachment inquiry a hoax.
Fox's John Decker at the White House. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo now in Lisbon, Portugal, meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, focusing on mainly the unrest in Iran.
These are people that are seeking freedom and a reasonable way to live, and they recognize the threat that is posed by the kleptocrats that are running the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the U.S. Navy warship seized what they're calling a significant cache of suspected Iranian-guided missile parts headed to rebels in Yemen. America is listening to Fox News.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Let's talk credit card debt for a minute. If you feel you're carrying too much of it, you're not alone. The average household in the U.S. carries over $8,000 in credit card debt. Ready for some good news? With a cash-out refinance from Quicken Loans, you can quickly and easily put some of the equity in your home to good use by paying off a lot of that high-interest credit card debt. A great way to take cash out is with our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.18%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN to learn how taking cash out with a 30-year fixed mortgage might be the right solution for you. And for a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rates subject to change. Pay 1.375% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
George Zimmerman, who was found not guilty of killing unarmed black teenager Trayvon Martin in 2012, now suing the Martin family.
The suit seeks $100 million from Martin's family, saying Zimmerman was a victim of defamation and other assaults on his character. Martin's mother, Sabrina Fulton, is the lead defendant in the case that says the family created a false narrative of the events leading to Martin's death. Martin's father is named as well. It also claims
This episode of The Drive with Lon and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Lawyers in the case falsely prosecuted him. Zimmerman shot Martin as the two struggled. Zimmerman claimed self-defense. A jury acquitted him of all.
Oh, boy. This has Hans all over it.
Yeah, I'm going to put a vote in to take this one out.
Okay. And by the way, it's under... Oh, this is under Tay 15. I thought he only put these under Piper.
I don't know.
See, the Tay
ones...
Well,
he's just taking blame away. Like, yeah. In case he puts one that you don't like, right. And it's like, oh, Lon put that one
the
in there.
The Tay ones are more of like that. Little Zeppelin, you know, a little more... Well, that's not it.
Sounds like
a little Fitty set. That... That's what Kevin Wheeler likes, although he even likes it darker than that, doesn't he? Kevin, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. Depends on what you mean by darker.
Well,
definitely louder.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird adjective to use. Or, yeah, like darker. What? But no.
Not necessarily. I mean, some people listen to death metal. I don't. But
yeah.
I kind of get up to that threshold, and that's about where I stop.
What did you think? I always said that the grunge era killed music because, like, while Pearl Jam was solid with that, you know, with their, you know, Jeremy and all that stuff.
it kind of stopped the 80s hairband metal that I fell in love with growing up.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, in all honesty, I mean, I loved all that. Probably quote unquote rock metal band I got into was Halen, but I always really had appreciation for Judas Priest and Ozzy and Black yeah. Sabbath and all that. But the one thing it did was it kind of created that nexus, right? Because grunge True. Kind of, I don't want to say it died out, although it did because a lot of lead singers died. But it changed the tone, right? Like yeah. metal used to be all about sex, drugs, rock and roll, party on the weekend, motorcycles and all that. And then it became about like everything sucks and things are terrible. And now it kind of transitioned into a little bit, not only heavier sound, but heavier tone too. Another metal's been since then yeah. for the most part.
That's a good point. I've never thought of it that way. Speaking of motorcycles.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I listen to bands like Korn and yep. Slipknot and a lot, you know, kind of what they call new metal. And that was kind of evolutionarily, like, following grunge, same kind of negative tone, and a negative, kind of more reality opposed to, like, party all the time kind of thing. And I think that's pretty good thing because it's a little bit more reflective of the world rather than, you know, that crazy coked up.
Yeah.
If you watch the Motley Crue movie on Netflix, which by the way was amazing.
Oh, I saw it and it was amazing. That Nikki Sixx and crew on the squad. By the way, speaking of motorcycles, I think when we were down there, when we started our show in 2010, was it 10 or 11? 2011, I guess. Well, no, we were down at spring training in 11. That's when I met Kevin. And the Cardinals ended up winning the World Series that year, but it was Kevin Wheeler that would ride in every day on a motorcycle. That was yours, right?
Yeah. That was actually Scott Terry.
Oh, I thought that was yours. Man.
Actually, there's another Cardinals minor league instructor that does too, and I'm forgetting who it was.
Oh, man, you've always had such a cool kind of thing with me because I thought that was yours. No, I'm kidding.
I wish. Hey. I have honestly never ridden like an actual motorcycle on the road.
Same here.
Unless you got a moped.
Yeah, I'd be scared to death of what I would do with it, so I need to shut up. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But he's more worried about other people than me. Like, I feel like True. I did not do anything stupid, but, you know, like, if somebody else bumps into you and you're in a car, it might suck, but you're going to be okay, close, probably not going to be all that great.
No, not at all.
Kevin, all right, contrary to a motorcycle, the Cardinals are making no noise. And you got the meetings coming up on Monday. They're just not attached to anybody. What does that say to you?
First of all, I don't expect them to be in the big free agent marketplace. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't necessarily, but I think I can understand their argument that they're probably okay on the pitching staff side, at least when it comes to the defensive guys. I think a starter would be great because personally, I just don't know that you can count on, Carlos to be. And I know they're waiting to kind of see what they learn during his offseason work. You know, that's a great reporting of my friend Derek Gould. And I understand why they want to do that. I know they feel pretty good about the four that they're counting on right now. And that's, again, understandable. I don't think there's anything wrong with feeling that way. But again, it can be a little risky. Like, you know, if things don't go well for Waino, which they did in 2019.
Right.
And then if you don't come up with a solution, you know, that's a little bit more of a known than Carlos. And again, I understand they have a lot of good names and a lot of good possibilities. So it's not an automatically bad thing, but I don't see in free agency the right fit for them in terms of adding a bat. The best fit would probably be bringing Ozuna back, but I'm not really all that thrilled about the idea of a 5-year contract for him. And number one, I think he's only had one really elite year in his life. Do we expect that, or do we expect what he's been in the other 5 years of his major league career? Because I think the larger sample size says, he's okay, but he's not a special bat. I would love to see them get in the trade market for a bat, though. I think they have some good pieces that could be offered up as trade bait. I think there are some quality guys out there that might be available. No, I don't think they're going to get Mookie Betts, which would be amazing, but I think the price would be too high. For a 1-year rental, but I think that that's probably the play, and that's going to take a while because some of these teams are going to see, you know, where the free agent market goes and all of that. But I think that looking at the trade market for a left field bat that can bat somewhere in the middle of the order is a more productive way to do it than looking at free agency right now.
Kevin, would a Jock Peterson make sense? Hit 36 bombs last year. You don't have power. You don't have lefty power.
Yeah.
No, he'd be, if you're talking about swapping out, you know, let's say one of your outfielders, you know, you can name names. It's not going to be Fowler, and it's certainly not going to be one of the really good kids. It won't be like Dylan Carlson or anything like that. And I say it won't be Fowler because that's not what the Dodgers will be looking for. And I would say probably not Harrison Bader, but maybe it's Tyler O'Neill plus, or maybe it's Lane Thomas or Rosarena plus. And, you know, you add in a couple of prospects here and there, and that saves the Dodgers some money, gets them another bat to plug in. And they have some lefty bats in the outfield already. Like Verdugo hits lefty, Bellinger hits lefty. So it's not really a big concern. A right-handed complement to move around might not be a bad idea for them. So sure, he'd be the kind of guy that I think would be a good fit. And then if he's not hitting lefties, well, then he doesn't have to play against lefties because you've got the right-handed bat.
Kevin Wheeler, a few more minutes. He is in the midst of coaching some baseball himself. Of course, former catcher at the U down in Miami. All right, a question would be, we were just talking about Carlos Martinez. Does he start or do you put him in the bullpen? Derek's like, well, I think if he starts, he's hurt by May. So with that said, what would you do with Carlos? And, you know, knowing I don't think Hicks will be ready yet. And then would the Cardinals be in play for any kind of a pitcher, or with Adam Wainwright coming back, is that pretty much saying that's our fifth guy?
No, I think they're in play. You know, unless the returns are just phenomenal on Carlos from my medical team, right? The more that they check up on him, if everything is like as good as it can be and fantastic, okay, then maybe that'll sway me not to get involved in the starting pitching market. But if it's anything but like A++, then he's my closer, right? I mean, I know he can do that job. I know he can stay healthy. I know that even when Hicks is back, I mean, look, we can't count on Hicks to close until 2021. Because you come back next year, the first thing those guys all have to deal with is getting the feel back on their breaking ball and getting their command back. So I wouldn't expect Hicks to walk right in and be able to close in July or August 2020. So that kind of provides some definition to the bullpen. And I would, you know, I know that everybody would love a lefty, and I would say that's an ideal situation if you could find a solid lefty.
Sure.
I mean, to me, maybe this is the year you make the move on Dallas Keuchel, depending on, you know, what kind of term he's going to get, right? I mean, he's not attached to a pick anymore. So, you know, even if he's $15, $16 million a year, if it's 3 years,
I'd be fine.
2 years, 3 years, I think that's a pretty good kind of player.
Yep.
He's not the only one. You know, maybe even get involved on a guy like Hyunjin Ryu, but it would be nice to toss a lefty in there, wouldn't it?
Yes. Because Gomer, I don't know, is Austin, I mean, he should be ready, I guess. We just don't know how ready.
Yeah, and I'm a fan, too.
Yeah, I am, too.
He's a good pitcher. I think he's been underrated for a while, but coming off a shoulder problem, that always makes me nervous.
Fair. I don't know why I called him Gomber.
A lot of people do.
Austin Gomber, I think, is his, well, who knows with me. All right, Derek.
Kevin, I want to ask you about the north side of the Cubs. There have been reports that a trade is going to happen, and maybe it's just Schwarber. Yep. But names have been thrown out, whether it's Chris Bryant or Castellanos, or not Castellanos, Contreras.
Contreras, yep.
Or Rizzo. I don't think that one's going to happen. But if it were a Contreras or a Bryant, what do you think that would draw back for them?
Well, I mean, it's a great question. I think Contreras gets you the highest return. That's an offensive catcher with a cannon for an arm who still has several years of team control, right? So, you know, you look at Bryant. He's got 2 years max, and the chance that he could win an arbitration ruling that allows him to be a free agent next year, and I don't think he's going to win, but he's also starting to get super expensive, right? I mean, even in arbitration, his salary is going to be getting into the $20 million range here soon when you've got an MVP under your belt and pretty consistent numbers. He's going to be expensive, and I think that that's fine for some teams, but I think it limits the market. I don't know that there's a limit on the marketplace for Contreras. I think he'd be your most valuable trade piece. If they don't think they can get a deal done with Bryant, then I think moving him makes some sense. But then again, are we talking about a rebuilding team? Or are we talking about a team that wants to try to contend again? Because if you're moving more than one of these guys, you can't make an argument that you're going to be getting proven big leaguers in return. You're going to be getting kids. Is this a team that's going to all of a sudden, you know, go from a year ago, people talking about a dynasty, a year and a half ago, people talking about a dynasty, so now, okay, they're retooling, and maybe they are. I mean, look, the Yankees did that, right? They did a one-year retool, and now look what they are. So maybe there's something to be said about doing it that way. But, boy, it's an awfully big step back if they have to go that route.
Whether it's through a major trade or free agency, they need starting pitchers, yeah. Do they not?
I mean, they got guys, right? I mean,
right.
They're not short on numbers. They've got people. I mean, they don't have Hamels anymore, but, I mean, still got Quintana, Lester, Darvish, and Hendricks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got four guys you know you're counting on. So I'd argue the bullpen is a bigger need. Their bullpen is what killed them last year.
Good
so point. If they can fix up the bullpen, and I know some of what they're trying to do with moving position players is to create some more financial flexibility to help the bullpen because that's their biggest flaw by far. And maybe there's something to that. But now we're seeing what happened to them when the Hayward contract turns out to be a massive mistake. You know, they're starting to have to pay other guys a lot of money. I think their early crush on Kyle Schwarber turned out to be a big mistake.
Yep.
Like, they loved him. They believed in him. And to be honest, he's fine, but he's a DH. And if they had traded him 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, they would have gotten a lot for him then, a lot more for him then than they will now.
I want to get Kevin on maybe in the near future, maybe a month or so, and talk a little more baseball around the world of baseball. But I want to get a couple more topics before we let you go. The St. Louis Blues having a lot of injury issues, obviously, with Sundquist now. Vladdy, of course, out for the season. And, boy, they just keep rolling. Man, right now, you are just plugging and playing, and this team is playing as a team as well as it can. Allen and Bennington, unbelievable in net. I mean, this is a fun team to watch again.
Yeah, I mean, look at what this team has been since the first day that Craig Berube was the head coach.
Good call.
I mean, they're legit. I mean, like, they're not just good. I mean, they don't have their best player, and they're playing like one of the best teams in the NHL. And not only did they not have their best player, they had other guys in and out of the lineup, too. And I couldn't be more impressed with the depth that they've shown, with the consistency that they've shown. Yeah, there have been a lot of overtime games, and there have been a lot of tight games, but the goaltending's good again. And I think that this kind of puts them in position, especially with Tarasenko out for the year, where maybe come trade deadline, they look for a really good rental. You know, a guy that's got an expiring contract that might maybe makes a little money, so that they can make their boost, because they're in a window to win now.
Sure.
Right? They're not in a window for 4 years from now. They're in a window that opened last year and is realistically probably going to be a 2-3-4 year type championship window. So I think Army's in a pretty good spot because they've got good depth. They've got some nice young players having good years down in San Antonio. And eventually I think they could be in a spot where a really good veteran on an expiring contract makes a lot of sense for them.
Great point.
Kevin, we're also going to want to get your perspective on Mizzou. They move on from football coach Barry Odom. What have you heard as far as what they're looking for, and who do you think – do you have some names that maybe make sense, or just what do you think they can shoot for with that position?
I mean, they got to shoot for an up-and-comer. I mean, I'm not saying this because Mizzou football is small-time. I mean, you're in the SEC. You're not small-time. But, number one, there aren't really many big names out there. Like, Urban Meyer's not moving to Columbia, Missouri. If he coaches, it's going to be at one of those top 10, 12 programs in terms of history and reputation and salary, right? He's going to be a $9 million a year coach if he's going to coach, and that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen at Mizzou. You could talk about Harsin at Boise, which would be interesting, who I think is really good, but
right.
I don't feel like he's going to leave there, and I think if he does, it's going to be for an even bigger name program. A lot of people like Norvell at Memphis, but again, Florida State's calling. Other SEC schools like Ole Miss and Arkansas, who have more money than Mizzou, are probably going to come calling there too. So probably looking for, at least in my opinion, the next kind of Gary Pinkel, a guy that is in one of the slightly lower conferences, right? Not the big, you know, FCS schools, maybe the FCS schools, not the FBS. I'm sorry, the Power Five, not
right.
The Power Five schools, but the Group of Five. That's
yes, Group of Five.
I'll spit it out one of these days. And, you know, the coach at Charlotte, Healy, is a guy that's getting some buzz here in St. Louis. Ben Fredrickson from the Post-Dispatch has mentioned him a couple of times, and Ben Fred's pretty tied in at Mizzou. But it's probably going to be somebody like that. You know, they don't have a ton, you know, they don't have a ton of revenue like the other SEC schools. They're still going to be paying Odom and his staff, depending on how quickly those guys all get hired at other schools. They may be paying part of that freight or the whole They've got the NCAA sanctions that they're still going to be dealing with.
That's right.
I just don't think that you can expect a big name. I think you're going to expect somebody who is probably in their 30s or early 40s, who's got an up-and-coming, you know, reputation, and you got to hope that they have the ability to take it to the next level.
Great stuff, as always. Kevin Wheeler, we appreciate it, my friend, and maybe here in a month or so we'll get you back on and we'll kind of zip around the league in baseball. I'll talk baseball whenever. I'm always ready to talk baseball. So we'll zip around the league and get your thoughts on everybody, and by then maybe the Cardinals will do something, though I don't expect it. Kevin, thank you so much.
You know I'm free, so feel free to call anytime.
I was going to ask you for an update. You're still doing a lot of stuff, though, on the radio, right?
Yes, I mean, like my thing now is I'm working for SiriusXM. I'm doing MLB Network, and we'll eventually, haven't yet, but we'll eventually be doing some on Mad Dog Radio too. But I'll be doing Inside Pitch tomorrow afternoon on MLB Network Radio. I'll be doing the morning show on Friday with CJ Nikowski, and then Sunday I'll be doing the early afternoon with Steve Sack. So they're going to keep me busy until I figure out what I'm doing as far as the day-to-day thing.
That's incredible. See, if I got off the radio, that'd be it. And Kevin has got like 500. Are you going to play catch with Sax and just hope he throws it to you? That's terrible.
Listen, Sax, he's a nice guy, man. I don't want to start him.
Yeah, that's true. Don't do that. Yeah, let's just roll with it.
I'm the new guy. I can't afford to be doing anything like that.
Great point. Kevin Wheeler, we'll listen for that, my friend. Thank you.
You got it, fellas. Take care.
All right, buddy. Kevin Wheeler, formerly of 101 ESPN in St. Louis, formerly of KMOX, and a guy now, as mentioned, he's kind of looking for a spot. And he's so talented, and he's a guy that's going to land on his feet. I can promise you that because he's staying busy as is. Adam Rittenberg is coming up. Man, he's good. Wheeler and Rittenberg.
Bringing the goods.
We got Hall of Fame guests today, essentially. And I've got to do a little business real quick. I've already played this, haven't I? Yeah, I did. I did on an earlier read, so sorry about that, Dre. Oh, Slim Shady! This gets you more in the mood to work out, doesn't it? Hey, join Diane Ducey tomorrow from 4 to 6 for the grand opening preview party for Crunch Fitness. You'll find Crunch Fitness at 40 East Anthony Drive in Champaign. It's the old Toys R Us building. Tour their new $6 million, 36,000 square foot, state-of-the-art fitness center. This is an impressive thing to bring to Champaign. Meet trainers, check out their cardio equipment, group fitness studios, tanning salon, and more. Join Crunch Fitness right now for only $1 down. And the memberships start as low as $9.95 a month. You can find out more at crunchchampagne.com. Again, join Diane Ducey tomorrow from 4 to 6. It's the grand opening preview party for Crunch Fitness. Adam Rittenberg's next. It's The Drive. I'm the real Slim Shady.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
The committee didn't do it. I really thought they would. The prevailing thought, including by myself, is that if it comes down to Oklahoma and Utah to grab that fourth spot in the final college football rankings on Sunday, it would go to the Sooners. More quality wins, a very comparable loss. That said, I thought the committee would actually put OU ahead of Utah last night, just to set the stage for OU to remain above Utah on Sunday, but they didn't. So now the question is this: is it really win and get in for the Utes? Does the fact that the committee put Utah ahead of OU now mean that if they both win, and of course Georgia loses, they would put them above OU when it matters most? Sooner fans might need to start adjusting to that reality. Meanwhile, somebody said something to me yesterday that I hadn't thought of before. He said, it's good for the sport that Georgia lost to South Carolina. Because if they didn't, the four playoff teams would already pretty much be locked in. Think about that. If Georgia beat South Carolina, you would have four undefeated Power 5 teams in the top four. And honestly, no conference title game result would boot one of them out. He's right. There weren't many upsets, but that one at least left a little drama on the table for this weekend. In 60 seconds, people love him, but it was time.
Before I got married, my dad told me, happy wife, happy life.
Really? Mine told me, get her bling, you'll be king.
That man's a genius.
Your JCPenney associate will help you find something that sparkles as much as she does. Shop select fine jewelry up to 60% off. Plus, save an extra 40% with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. JCPenney rewards members get select diamond jewelry for just $25. JCPenney. Offers valid 12-5 to 12-11. Credit offers subject to credit approval. $25 diamond jewelry excluded from coupon. Other exclusions apply. See jcp.com for coupon and details.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
I live here in Charlotte, where we now have an NFL team without a head coach. New Panthers owner David Tepper fired Ron Rivera yesterday. It's bittersweet locally. Yes, this Panthers team has gotten stale. No question about that. Not much reason for optimism. Rivera had a phenomenal run here, though, winning his head coach in franchise history, and he took his team to a Super Bowl. But sometimes it's just time for change, and that's happening here with the Panthers. It would be easier for everybody if Ron Rivera was not a phenomenal human being who was always making himself a productive member of the Charlotte community. Ron Rivera will be missed here. He'll forever also have fans in the Carolinas, wherever he ends up. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
Okay, I go to my refrigerator one morning and everything is warm. This is not how I wanted to start my day. I bought it 5 years ago at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, so I called them. They told me it was still under the free protection plan. Wow, my day just got better. They sent a technician right out and he said it needed a new control board, inverter, support motor, and gasket. Normally a $1,269 repair, but he charged me nothing. Zip, zero, nada. Boy, am I glad I bought it at Dick Van Dyke. Wow.
I'm Dennis Regan, president of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This is a true story that happened here in Champaign-Urbana within the past month. Most of our appliances come with our exclusive free 10-year protection plan and the fast service to back it up. Wow!
Logic Everyday Community, the all-encompassing destination with offices, co-working, and creative space for you and your team. Co-working space, drop-in child care, and all-day dining options in their everyday kitchen, restaurant, and bar, or a quick healthy snack, smoothie, or delicious coffee from the Clever Moose Cafe. Work smart, eat well, live flexibly. Logic Everyday Community, 1807 South Neal Street, or visit LODGIC.com.
Long's Garage, the oldest auto repair facility in Champaign-Urbana, deals with engine repairs, transmissions, brakes, suspensions, electrical, air conditioning. But one thing they pride themselves on in the one-stop shop for vehicle repairs is tires. Kumho Tires is having an instant rebate sale. If you buy a set of four Kumho passenger tires, you get a $60 credit. If you have a truck and buy a set of four light truck tires, you get a $120 credit. So go on to Long's Garage at 503 East Main Street or schedule an appointment at 217-367-3000.
Hey, Illini fans, we're going bowling. Coach Lovey Smith and your football team are bowl-bound for the first time since 2014. Get all your gear to show your support at the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Whether you're looking for a great gift for the Illinois football fan in your life or just looking for a celebratory bowl t-shirt, Game Day Spirit is the store for you. Find us in Champaign or online 24-7 at GameDaySpirit.com. And go Illini!
Aw, it's a BB gun.
What's wrong, Ralphie? It looks like there are two more gifts over there. Open them.
It's a moving truck. It's two professional movers. Wow, I got two men in a truck for Christmas. Now we don't have to deal with moving in the winter on our own. This is the best Christmas ever.
Get your holidays moving stress-free. Go to twomenchampaign.com to start your free estimate.
Full-size moving trucks will not fit under most Christmas trees. Movers and trucks are not sold separately.
Wednesday, December 4th, will you be there live for the first ever nationally televised professional wrestling event in Champaign? AEW Dynamite is coming to the State Farm Center at the University of Illinois. See Chris Jericho, Cody, John Moxley, Kenny Omega, Nyla Rose, Rhea, Hangman Page, the Young Bucks, and the athletes of All Elite Wrestling live. AEW Dynamite is coming to the State Farm Center at the University of Illinois live. Tickets are on sale now and start at $20. Special student ticket prices are also available. Go to AEWTix.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. We forgot to say this. Happy birthday to Trevor Valise. Did you know that?
I did not.
Today is Trevor Valise's birthday, but he claims he only took the day off so he could study for finals. So I'm going to have to believe him on that. Finals are coming up, so I'll believe him on that. Alec is in here.
Birthday dinner in the tech. I didn't know it was his birthday.
Yeah, he fooled us. I saw it on Facebook.
Gotcha.
So happy birthday to Trevor Valise. He will be back in tomorrow as our top-notch producer for The Drive. It is time to hit back to the phones. Just visit with Kevin Wheeler. Good stuff. Always talking baseball. And talked a little Missouri football with Kevin Wheeler. Now it's time to talk to the man, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. How are you, Adam?
Hey, good, Lon. How you doing, man?
Good, buddy. Late notice, anything. You are the man. You always come on, and I can't thank you enough. One of these days, you're going to get so big time, you're going to be like, I don't know who you are, Lon. So, not yet. He's still coming on, which I appreciate. All right. Are you busy this week?
A little bit. Yeah, you know, I obviously do a lot on the coaching carousel. This year's one has not been nearly as active, although we had some news today with a non-coaching change at USC. So definitely busy time as far as that goes, but I always have time for you, brother.
Oh, you're the man.
Adam, some big matchups this weekend, conference title weekend. I want to ask you this. We know the top four in the college football playoff right now, Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and Georgia. What needs to happen, in your opinion, to have the four best teams in the playoff?
Well, I think, you know, at least for the top three to kind of hold serve, and I do expect that to happen with Ohio State and LSU and Clemson all winning their games. I think they're clearly the top three teams this season. And then, you know, again, I believe Utah is the number four team. I have seen them play. I've studied them for much of the year. I've stayed up to watch their games. I think they're a really dominant, really complete team. And a lot of people think Oklahoma or Baylor will have a stronger resume, especially OU, if they're able to win the championship game with two wins.
Did we lose you, Adam?
If you haven't seen them play, check them out on Friday night.
You know what? Can you say that last part one more time, Adam, because we kind of lost you there for a second.
No, I'm just saying, if for those who haven't seen Utah play, check them out on Friday night because they're outstanding. And I really believe that of the three contenders for that number four spot, if Georgia doesn't beat LSU, they're the most complete of the three. And I think that's why they belong right now at number five.
Okay. I was going to ask you, my son goes to Arizona State, so I was just out there this weekend, and of course they get the win over the Territorial Cup over Arizona. But you know, overall, it seems like the Pac-12 is a bit down this year, and I know Utah, no fault of their own. They're just beating up on teams that aren't very good right now the last two or three weeks. Does that hurt them, the whole perception of the Pac-12? Cause I, you know, look, there's been times in my life where the Pac-12 was where it was at. But, I mean, does that kind of hurt them right now?
Without a doubt, yeah, because, you know, their dominant wins are devalued because of that perception that they're just beating up on bad teams. They can't change the schedule. Now, they did lose, you know, their toughest game to date, at least as far as how good the opponent was, and that was USC, and that's on them. I was at the game. I would say, though, in seeing that game, that it was more bad Utah than it was good USC. USC did some things in that ball game to win. Their receivers were outstanding. But I saw Utah look very out of sorts. Not unlike Oklahoma did when they lost to Kansas State. Not unlike Georgia did when they lost to South Carolina. So I think every team can have one of those nights. And I don't think they should be punished, you know, completely for it, even though, you know, they certainly squandered an opportunity in L.A. So absolutely, though, Lon, it does factor into the perception of Utah that, yeah, of course they're beating up on these teams because these teams are so bad. But in talking to football people, and I always do this, talk to coaches, talk to people who know the game better than I do, they all say this is an outstanding Utah team. And awesome. Kyle Whittingham told me himself about 2 weeks ago this is the most talented and deep team he's had as the head coach there. And this is a guy who has had undefeated seasons, the guy who's won a Sugar Bowl against Alabama. And so he has some pretty good perspective on that program.
Okay, so I've got a two-question thing here, which I try not to do because it's so unprofessional. But I want to piggyback the Utah. Are you getting the sense, talking, because you travel the country with ESPN, of course, covering college football, do you get the sense that people like Lon, I'm talking third person here, Ricky Henderson, they want new teams in it on occasion, like a Utah? I think that would be awesome. And then the second question would be, no Alabama in this thing for the first time ever, how weird is that going to be? I know there's still a shot, but let's assume they don't make it. How weird is that going to be?
Yeah, to your first question, I think there's a lot of people who want a little bit of new blood in this thing. We're going to get it with Clemson. With LSU, rather. Clemson's not.
Sure.
And even Ohio State's not been part of it. But I think a team from the Pac-12 for the first time since 2016 to get most of the country interested in this thing is good. I'd like to see the playoff expanded so that we have national representation every year. I don't get this feeling that college football fans have that the playoff should be so exclusive that large portions of the country are cut off. In every other playoff system, we have a national representation as far as who's involved, and we have teams that can't win it. I'm sorry.
Right.
Like, why is that so bad in college football that you have some teams that aren't capable of winning it? So anyway, and I think Utah is a team that's very capable of at least making it interesting. It is also very weird to your second question, Lon, about Alabama, that they're sitting there at number 12. They're going to be out of this mix, not even at a New Year's Six Bowl, most likely.
Wow.
The schedule certainly didn't break in their favor. They had some really catastrophic injuries to key players, and it's going to be a very different playoff without them involved.
Talking to Adam Rittenberg about college football, huge weekend coming up. Follow him on Twitter at ESPN Rittenberg. He also has an article out, scouting report on Utah, LSU, ooh, and all the teams in action. I want to ask you about LSU and Ohio State because in college basketball, they're saying there's not a great team this year. Well, you look at the top two, and I don't think college football maybe has this problem, but how good are LSU and Ohio State? Ohio State seem to cover every spread with the exception of Penn State. They're favored by 2-3 touchdowns, maybe more every week, and they cover that. Justin Fields has been phenomenal. And then LSU is a record-breaking offense in the SEC. How good are those two relative to what we've seen in previous seasons?
You know, I talked to a Big Ten head coach yesterday who said this is the best Ohio State team that he's seen, you know, maybe since their national championship team in 2014, but may not be since some of the Jim Tressel teams, like the 2002 one that won the national title. I mean, that's how good they are. And very balanced, much improved in key areas. Defensively, they're completely different than they were last year when they were so prone to those breakdowns. Their offensive line is much better. And then LSU, I got a chance to see them in person last week. I've been kind of begging my bosses. I want to see what this offense looks like. And it is just outstanding what they're able to do from Joe Burrow to those receivers. Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't get enough credit how good he is as running back. Their offensive line doesn't get enough credit for giving Joe Burrow all that time to throw the ball. And then defensively, they played their best game of the season against A&M. And so they may be kind of peaking at the right time, and they have a lot of talent on that side of the ball, especially at linebacker and at defensive back. And so, yeah, those to me look like, along with Clemson, the best teams out there. And it's going to be tough for anybody to really beat them. And why that semifinal, if it is either LSU or Ohio State against Clemson or some combination, it's just going to be a monster because, as you guys know, a lot of these semifinals haven't been competitive. I think an LSU-Clemson, Ohio State-Clemson semifinal would be incredibly competitive.
Adam, last one for me. I'll be honest. If 2 months ago you said we were talking to you on this day, we were going to ask you about a coaching search.
Right.
And the fact that we're not maybe says a decent amount about Lovie Smith. Man. But the Northwestern loss is frustrating, disappointing. Do you think that adds to the importance of winning a bowl game and being over 500 on a 13-game slate for Illinois football?
Well, you certainly want momentum going into the offseason. Illinois definitely took some steps forward this year. They had some really notable victories, especially Wisconsin and Michigan State, that historic comeback. But you mentioned the loss to Northwestern, kind of the losses to end the season. If that's going to be a slide with a bowl loss, then you're kind of back to the same situation, at least it feels like from the outside, going into 2020, where Lovie's going to have to deliver in order to remain the coach, even though Josh Whitman's very supportive and everybody is excited that they're back in a bowl game. But if you kind of end this with another loss in the bowl, go 6-7, you needed a lot of things to go right in both the Wisconsin and Michigan State games.
Sure.
To be able to come out with a victory. That would, I think, create a little bit of angst going into 2020. So it is an important game. We don't know the opponent yet and the situation. And Illinois certainly wasn't at full strength against Northwestern. Hopefully they'll be closer to that for this bowl game. But I do think it has some added importance.
at ESPN Rittenberg. If you want to just geek out, just check out his articles, and the next thing you know, you're there. It's like an hour later. You're still reading articles. I've done it plenty of times. Adam, it is the busiest week of the year for you, and we can't thank you enough for coming on with us, my friend. Really appreciate it. Have fun with championship weekend. I'll be reading your stuff leading into the bowl games.
Well, Lon, I always appreciate you. Thanks, guys, for having me on, and enjoy the week, all right?
All right, buddy. That is Adam Rittenberg. He is awesome. Incredibly awesome.
If he answers your text, that means you must be awesome, too.
Well, did Adam, let me get this straight. Adam used to write for the Big Ten Network, I believe, and then was picked up by ESPN, obviously. And now, instead of just covering Big Ten games, which that'd be kind of a cool job, you know, just go. You've got it, basically. You go around, you're going to be going to
College Park.
So, I mean, that alone is cool. Rittenberg gets to go to all these different games. Like, you know, he picks his game. He's like, oh, Michigan, Ohio State's playing. Well, guess who's going to be there? So he did that, and then now he does the national stage where, hey, it's Alabama and LSU. Well, guess what? I'm going to that. I mean, it's an amazing, and his work is great, and I'll stop gushing. I will, but I'm just really appreciative to have Adam Rittenberg. Jeremy got him early on at T&J, and he has been with us for all 9 years and is a wonderful guy to lean to. And Kevin Wheeler's another one.
Was he your first round pick in the divorce?
You know what? It may have been Wheeler because of the Cardinals connection. I think I went with Wheeler. I think I did get Rittenberg though in the divorce draft. I think. I know that Jeremy got my boy from Michigan. Now I can't think of his name. I'm losing him.
I know
right
you're
now.
Talking about.
But he's amazing too. And Jeremy got him, and I'm like, all right. But you know, Jeremy and I, we still talk.
Do you?
Yeah, we do.
That's good.
He sends me pictures of his kids and stuff. So we're still friends. That's so funny. I love how we blew that up though. All right, listen, when we come back, we got plenty to talk about. I mean, there's so many things still going on.
We haven't talked Big Ten ACC Challenge yet.
Boom. That's it. I knew exactly where you wanted to go. So when we come back, if you got a question late, 359-2255, we will discuss what has happened thus far. I'm going to have you fill me in because the only thing I've watched is Illinois-Miami and then what we've got tonight besides AEW wrestling at the State Farm Center, which is going to be cool to watch. I think that's TNT.
I believe it.
I will verify that. Yeah, TNT. Thank you, Alex. So I think 7 o'clock on TNT, live wrestling from State Farm Center. That's
Berkeley
really
will be
cool.
Thrown through a table.
Oh, that would be incredible. Wouldn't that be incredible if all of a sudden Berkeley's on TV and they're just throwing him around the ring? or he comes in and he tags in with Jericho. Do they still do tag team?
Yeah.
They still do.
I think
okay.
So. I haven't.
I know. I need to brush
up. Kind of a
up.
Staple of the sport.
Well, I would think, right? I mean, because do they still do steel cage matches? Now, that's real blood there. I mean, if I throw you into a fence, you're going to bleed.
Right.
Right? You don't have to pop some capsule. I mean, that's real stuff, Derek. So I'm getting into it, man. All right.
Sounds like you thought a lot about this.
I used to be a big fan until I was like 15, and then I just kind of let it go. 359-2255 is the drive.
Hi, I'm Habib, and this is your motivational minute. William Shakespeare writes about the fool talking to King Lear and said the following: have more than you show, speak less than you know, lend less than you owe, ride more than you walk, don't believe everything you hear, don't bet everything on one throw of the dice. Leave behind your booze and stay indoors, and you'll end up with more than 2/10 to a 20. Kent answered, that makes no sense, fool. It's nothing. The fool replied, in that case, it's like the words of an unpaid lawyer. You paid me nothing for it. Can't you make any use of nothing? Most of the time, free advice is neglected, even though they may be pearls of wisdom. And this year's Live to Lead was jam-packed with pearls of wisdom and may have been the best Live to Lead ever. If you missed it, don't worry. Due to incredible feedback and demand, we're rebroadcasting the exact seminar in its entirety on Tuesday, December 10th at 8 a.m. and again that same day at 5 p.m. Seats are limited, so buy your tickets today at HabibHabib.com.
Jay Lehman is back on the Jeremy Warner Show this fall.
Is Isaiah Williams going to really compete for this quarterback spot with his ability to run the ball? I just don't know how accurate of a thrower he is.
Get the insight from the former All-American Illini linebacker and Rose Bowl team captain. Catch him on Monday morning starting at 10 a.m. as he talks Illini football and breaks down the rest of the Big Ten. Thanks to Molitor Financial Group and Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Don't miss a thing, and be sure to check out our podcast online at ESPNCU.com.
When your car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues, including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission, require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
Hello, this is Shane Coulter of Country Arbor's Nursery. You already know that Country Arbor's is the home of the best Fraser Fir Christmas tree in town. And this Saturday, we're also home of Santa Claus. This Saturday is Country Arbor's Christmas open house. We'll have cookies, candy, music, and from 11 to 2:30, we'll have Santa Claus. Yes, Santa Claus will be taking pictures and listening to your holiday wishes. No long lines at Country Arbor's, and he loves dogs. So bring your kids, bring your pets, and get your trees, wreaths, and roping, and free pictures with Santa. If you can't make it Saturday, we're open 7 days a week until we're sold out. You can find out more information and directions at countryarbors.com.
Hey, Joe, you got that spreadsheet for me?
Yeah, 1 second, Larry. Let me pull it up. Where'd it go?
Hey, I'm going to need that spreadsheet ASAP, Joe.
Yeah. Sure, Larry. Just 1 second. It's gone. Everything's gone. My emails, my spreadsheets, my fantasy football league.
This is Joe. Don't be like Joe. Give Area-Wide Technologies in Champaign a call at 359-8041. They'll make sure your work setup is secure and running smoothly. Then you won't be in a situation like Joe.
What's Kasasa Tunes? It's free checking that funds your fun. Now available at Prospect Bank. Earn refunds on your iTunes, Amazon.com, and Google Play purchases, all for doing the simple things that you do anyway. Free Kasasa Checking even refunds your ATM fees nationwide. Get paid. Bank local. Ask for Kasasa at Prospect Bank or go to bankprospect.com and join the movement today. Qualifications and rules apply. See financial institution for details. Member FDIC.
Well, you've done very well in this job interview. I want to know what powers you through the day.
Well, I use a AAA battery as a backup on my alarm clock. Then I turn on my TV for the weather with my AA powered remote. I drove here in my car that has an MT58 Interstate battery. Oh, I forgot about my watch. It has a coin cell battery from Interstate Battery. I once had a fire in my house, and I knew about it because my smoke detector had a 9-volt Interstate battery. So I guess you could say that Interstate Battery powers me. If you need the hookup, go to them in Champaign on Mass.
Wow, you seem charged up for this job.
Wow, Mommy, those are beautiful.
They sure are, Bugs. Daddy knew my birthday was coming up and sent me flowers.
That's nice, Mommy. When I get married, I want to send my wife flowers, too.
And you can. You'll just need to call the Blossom Basket florist.
No matter how young or old, flowers from the Blossom Basket are perfect for any occasion. Call 367-ROSE for the Blossom Basket in Champaign and Urbana.
We turn your feelings into flowers. The Blossom Basket florist.
Hi, I'm Keith Kraft, director of the upcoming Christmas cantata, Come Let Us at a Door, put on by St. Paul's Lutheran Church Women's Choir in Sedaris, Illinois, Saturday, December 7th at 7 p.m. Enjoy the program, Come Let Us Adore, treats following the performance. A free will offering will be taken to benefit Salt and Light, with their director Nathan Montgomery saying a few words about their ministry. There's details on the St. Paul Lutheran Church website and on Facebook. Enjoy music of the season, Saturday, December 7th at 7 p.m. in Sedaris, Illinois.
That is The Drive with Tay and Piper. Lante, Derek Piper. Done a lot today. We talked a little AEW wrestling with Austin Berkland, who's got a press pass for tonight. Again, that is on TNT tonight, so tune into that. Visited with Kevin Wheeler at 5, Adam Rittenberg at 5:30. Good stuff there from both of those guys. Tomorrow, Sean Harrington tomorrow at 5:05. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And we're like laying it on Trevor. Poor Trevor. So I've got a game tomorrow night at 6. Because normally, the 8th grade games normally are after the 7th grade game or whatever, And so normally I can stay here almost to the end of the show, basically, but our game is at 6, so I've got to leave early. So Trevor's going to do Trev's ticket tomorrow from 5:30 to 6, like in that range. So I'll try to stay here until about 5:40 and then let him kind of do his Trev's tick. So you and I, we need – are you going to be here at all for the show?
I will not. I'm going to the Bears-Cowboys game.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
Those tickets sounded a lot.
I'm like, are you already driving or heading to College Park or whatever? What am I saying? Where's Maryland playing?
College Park. What's funny is going up Thursday to Chicago for Bears-Cowboys, coming back to Champaign Friday to do the show, go back to Chicago on Saturday to fly out to College Park.
Oh, my goodness. So that's how much you care about our show.
Yeah.
That is really nice of you, Derek. If I were you, I'd just hang out in Chicago for a couple of days, have some fun here on this Christmas season. All right. Fill me in on the Big 10-10 ACC Challenge.
All right, we're tied up 4-4 going into tonight.
Thanks, Illinois.
I'll mention we can run through last night's happenings. First of all, the big matchup was Louisville. Well, one of them, Louisville, at home against Michigan, took care of them 58-43.
Wait, Michigan won?
No.
Oh,
Michigan lost 58-43.
I missed everything last night.
That was a game that was okay to miss because it was ugly.
It was bad.
Michigan came in shooting like 42-43% from three, and they couldn't score.
Oh, great. So they had their bad shooting night, and then they'll get back to – okay, great.
They play Iowa this week in Ann Arbor, and then they come to Champaign next week. They will not be the nation's number one team, which that they needed to win that game for that to happen.
So we could do a little –
they've got it, Tess! They've got it!
They could still do that.
Yeah, true. Top five team.
Illinois – this is an aside, but Illinois basketball needs to show you something the next two games.
Amen. Amen. You're not winning at Maryland.
I don't think so.
I mean,
I'm going to be there.
I have 1% hope that they're going to win at Maryland. That's how good I think Maryland is. I do think they will beat Michigan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So only an idiot like me could go 1% on, but I think it's all about the road game at Maryland. I don't like it. I don't like the dynamic with that. Anthony Cowan's going to chew you up. But I think they can beat Michigan.
They can. So, absolutely can.
I hope.
And we'll see, yeah, you better hope so.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, so what else has happened in this thing?
Duke hammered Michigan State. Michigan State is now 5-3. They were everybody's pick for preseason number one, and now they don't look so great.
No.
They've lost to Vatek. Of course, when you lose to Duke and Kentucky,
wow. Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. But they lost to Vatek as well, and really they don't have a whole lot outside of their big three. Cassius Winston, Xavier Tillman, Aaron Henry. They're relying on other guys. They need Malik Hall, who's a freshman, to step up. Rocket Watts hasn't done a whole lot. Very prolific guard, who's a freshman as well. So Michigan State looks human, relatively human.
Right.
But I don't know.
It's funny. Coming into the season when everybody's like, oh, Michigan State's the best team in the country. And I think they are obviously one of the better teams. And we know how it goes. Izzo's got to have his team ready. But I was like, well, how much depth do they have? But then again, I haven't studied all their freshmen coming in. But when Langford got hurt again, I'm like, well, how many options do they have really to score? And as you know, it's the funniest thing in the history of sports, but I've always thought that Cassius Winston was just a little bit not as good as everybody thinks he is, but which is weird. And I think it all comes down to the fact that Illinois handled him so bad last year twice.
It's funny because I was watching last night, and there are just plays that he makes everybody better.
Yeah, he does. That's the thing.
And there's a difference between having a really good, like a teammate that's really, really good. Like we're gonna win some games because he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There's another guy that we're gonna win games because he's gonna make me awesome too.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
And I mean, think that's what the quality he has.
It's almost like who would be an example of that in college basketball? Like Howard. Marcus Howard for Marquette. We're gonna win games because he's awesome and he's gonna score 40. But Cassius Winston is maybe gonna score 20 and get 10 assists, and those 10 assists is making everybody better.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's awesome. All right, so not a good showing then last night for the Big Ten as Michigan and Michigan State both get beat.
They did get 3 wins on the night, one of those being Indiana.
Ooh.
Handled another ACC team from Florida, the one that was ranked number 17, Florida State. Went to Bloomington, and Indiana won 80-64. Devontae Green, senior guard, career high 30 points. He
really?
Was unbelievable. Trace Jackson Davis, the freshman big man, impressive.
Okay. So that's what you're supposed to do at home? You're supposed to win a game
I
like that?
I guess so. That place is jumping.
Oh, man.
And you know it always is.
It is.
When they go on a run, I swear, when they go on a run, outside of Grand Canyon funneling in the music, there's no louder place
than I've been. It's incredible. And the way it's been, the way it's built, if you've never been to Assembly Hall in Bloomington, it's built like an amphitheater.
Looks like a theater.
It does.
I said the same thing.
And it's so the guy up in row 300, which I don't think there's 300 rows.
But, oh, well, the thing is, the visiting media is in the last row of the first section. So this is the overhang, and I swear it's 70 rows up.
Oh, yeah. I'm scared to even, like, you look up there and you get scared. It should be a ride at Six Flags. But like, literally, the guy in the last row makes as much noise as the guy, as John Cougar Mellencamp, who sits right behind the bench, because the acoustics of that place are incredible. So, yeah, if you've never been, you should just take your family over there just to see, you know, an early season game. I mean, Indiana's not very good, so this year you might have a chance for tickets. But
they hadn't played anybody. They're now 8-0, but they hadn't played anybody until Florida State. And
well, they got better wins than Illinois right now, don't they?
One
better win. And then who else did Iowa win?
Iowa did win, 68-54 at Syracuse. Syracuse not very good.
Okay.
But it did seem like the matchup, Syracuse plays zone, Iowa shoots threes.
Yeah? Oh, that's true. And at Syracuse, so give Iowa some credit.
Yep. Northwestern surprisingly won. Oh, and do we need to get familiar with their freshman named Boo Booey?
Boo Booey?
Boo Booey scored 20 points on the road at Boston College.
Is Boston College really bad?
Yes, we'll assume that. They're 4-5.
We will assume that.
And then Rutgers lost to Pitt.
Oh. So what's tonight?
We have Purdue host Virginia.
Yeah, that just
Virginia's number 5, first to 45.
Yeah, good call.
Should win.
Good call.
Nebraska at Georgia Tech. Notre Dame at Maryland. They'll get hammered. Penn State host Wake Forest. Wisconsin at NC State. And then 8:30 Central, Ohio State versus North Carolina, number 6 versus number 7.
Okay, so we want to watch that one. So I got basketball to watch tonight, is what you're saying.
Late night.
Okay, late night basketball. All right, we got to get out of here. We're way late. Kevin Wheeler, thank you to him at 5 o'clock. Adam Rittenberg at 5:30. Thank you to Alec, our intern. Also, thank you to Austin Berkland. He filled in. He didn't fill in. He just joined us. He's not filling in for anybody. He just joined us to talk baseball and wrestling to start the show, which was awesome. All right, if you missed any of it, catch it on the podcast. Get those on all sorts of
places.
Platforms, yeah.
Hey, Cardinals, do something.
Yeah, right? Sean Harrington talking Illinois basketball and Big Ten basketball tomorrow. It is the...
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.